You're with Greg T. Ross, and welcome to another episode of The Last Post Radio Show. We're here today with Rob Endersby, Secretary Curator of the marvellous Meriden Military Museum. And Meriden Museum is on the Great Eastern Highway in Meriden. I've been through Meriden many times, Rob. It's there in the central eastern wheat belt. I don't know, how many hours drive from Perth? Not too far away, is it?
About 3 hours to be safe. Maybe don't want to get caught for speeding along the way.
You've done a fantastic job there at the Meriden Military Museum. You've got Western Australia's, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Western Australia's largest collection of restored military vehicles and equipment. Is that right?
We believe it is. I mean, we keep getting told that we've got one of the best collections in the state. So I guess we believe the nice things that people say about us.
Yeah, that's right. And with good reason too, Rob, because of course, one look at the Meriden Military Museum there in Meriden, WA, gives you a sense of great history. How did this all start?
It started back in earlier than 1994. There was three of us here in town, three private collectors, and we were given the opportunity to store our stuff in a shed that was being used by the Army cadets, so we didn't have to cart it to our homes, and we sort of opened basically a little museum on the back blocks of town. And as they say, like tops, you've just grown and grown and grown. Relocated to our new location in 2005, and we've just about outgrown that as well.
And has the local public embraced it?
Yes, mind you, it's still always surprising the number of locals will say, must call in one day and have a look.
You've had a great response from the public Australia-wide. Tell us a bit about the different types of visitors you get there, Rob.
Well, we obviously get people that are really interested in military history. We get quite a lot of veterans coming through, even current defence members. We're getting more and more international visitors. Recently, we had a guy that came all the way from Holland to have a look because one of our exhibits. He read that we had a Catalina flying boat in our collection, and he made a trip out especially to see that and also see the other ones around Australia. The remarkable thing about ours is, and I love pushing this because it is such an iconic aircraft, is it's a genuine RAAF Black Cat with combat history.
That's something to go out and see, and no wonder he's come all the way from Holland to have a look at the Catalina. That's incredible stuff. How big's the museum, Rob? I'm just thinking about how much room it'd take to store all these great vehicles.
Well, the bigger stuff stored out in the open, and we're trying to work towards doing something about that as we speak. Mm-hmm. But because it's on state government land vested in the Shire, there's an awful lot of red tape, and we're slowly ploughing through that. So hopefully we'll get there one day and we'll get even more of it undercover and protected.
Yeah, no, it's a great area there that you're in, and it's a mass of so many vehicles, and the Catalina plane, of course, you just mentioned. You do cover World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam. Tell us a bit about that, the collection of all those combat, World War One, et cetera, too.
I guess we started off with mainly World War Two stuff because that's what we were finding on farms because it was sold off after the war and used by farmers. Mm. The more modern stuff of Vietnam era, defence was still using quite a lot of that up until not that long ago. So when they decided they were going to get rid of things like their Huey helicopters, Kiowas, APCs, they actually put it up and said, well, it's available if you want to put in a submission. And then if you're lucky, you pay decommissioning and then you've got to pay freight from wherever it happens to be. Well, in the case of two of our aircraft, we're located in Brisbane, so the freight bill was not cheap. And it's just a matter of tracking things down, finding things. People tell you about stuff they've seen somewhere. We deal with other museums and private collectors, and sometimes a bit of a trade goes on. So we're constantly trying to fill gaps in. I would say we've got an exceptionally good Vietnam collection these days. So that's just a matter of just keep working on it.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, we have Vietnam and Korea being the most recent, obviously, of the collection you've got there. But some great history too, Rob, in the artifacts and vehicles from World War One and Two. Some of the vehicles, I believe, I must come along there and have a bit of a... Some vehicles are still in working order.
Yep. We started with because we're private collectors, I suppose we had the enthusiasm to get these things up and running. And that's followed through to the museum, because the museum operates its own right now. There's still private collections within it and things on loan, but the museum owns things itself. But nothing tells people about an item like a tank or a truck or whatever, they'd be able to see it moving, and it gives you a better understanding of the guys that operated them, drove them, sit in them. So that's why we still try and do that. That's a job in itself, because as these things get older, they're harder and harder to look after, a bit like us.
Well, I tell you what, I do know from my I've been in tanks, Rob, and call me whatever, but it's a claustrophobia. You'd have to be made of metal, I reckon, to get in there
Yeah. Well, the expression is, I think, a third class ride's better than a first class walk.
Yeah, that's right. And the tanks there, it's still in working order, and all that stuff. It's incredible. I'd love to pop out there and get in one of those tanks, that's for sure. You've got masks and uniforms from these combat eras too. Tell us a bit about that.
We've got quite an extensive uniform display now as well. From obviously not a lot of First World War, but Second World War is quite good, and all the way through. We've even got quite a good collection of uniforms with the female side of it, the women's services, and that's been a hard thing to find there again because the numbers weren't there, so there's less of it out there to find. And we've got uniforms dating right up until the current issue Army camouflage uniform.
Okay, that's of interest too. And I guess to help, you come along there to the Meriden Military Museum. We're talking to Rob Endersby here on the Last Post radio show. Rob's the secretary and curator of the Meriden Military Museum there in WA. A wonderful collection of vehicles and planes, etc., for people to go and have a look at. You've got a booklet. Now, what's in the
Yes.
booklet?
Well, it was one of those things, people say, oh, why is there a military museum in Meriden? What happened here? And we were giving people information, and then we started to do up little information sheets. And then after a while, we thought, well, there's quite a few of these. Maybe we should just sort of staple them together. So that was the idea behind doing the book rather than just stapling a few pages together to actually sit down and try and tell the story as best we can of what happened around here, mainly during World War II. Because a lot of people have no idea of the history out here in the bush, the build-up, getting ready for a possible Japanese invasion. Some say it's Meriden's or Western Australia's best kept secret because it's out here and no one knows about it.
Yeah, true enough. And I think from speaking to various historical sites around WA too, and we've been across to WA a couple of times in the last two years, Western Australia has a significant history, Rob, a significant role in our warfare history. Tell us a bit about that. Because, of course, soldiers left for Gallipoli from WA.
Yeah, exactly. And you look back through over the First World War records we've got for this area, the amount that enlisted and went away from here. And I always tell people it's hard to know because back in those days there was a lot of transient people, and you'll see it on their records, Teamster, railway man, people that came and went. So it's hard to know exactly how many enlisted that were Meriden people, or they just happened to be here. We're very lucky in the last few years to get together all the honour boards that were on the little towns around Meriden, and they're now at the museum, so you can see them. And a lot of them were stuck in sheds because the old hall had fallen down out at Newcarney or wherever. And that really gives you an understanding of the people that enlisted and went away, and but it also denotes those that didn't come home. And then, of course, World War II, we had the massive build-up, and we had the Army Hospital here, the 2nd First AGH. We had the RAAF stores depot. We had the big base ordnance depot at Nungarran. We had the ammunition depot down at Ardeth, which is 80K to the south. You've got Cunderdin with the Empire Air Training Scheme and the Liberator bombers flying out of there. It was massive, but people just don't know about it.
No, that's well said, Rob. And I think certainly from an educational point of view, we can only keep reiterating the fact that WA does have a significant role in Australia's history generally, but also in our military history. So thanks for confirming all of that. Have you got a World War II hangar there or something for them?
There are the hangars. That was part of the 10 stores depot for the RAAF. There's two big hangar buildings there. They were the stores depot for the Air Force, and within them were held everything that Air Force needed, from uniforms, toothbrushes. We've actually got one of the catalogues that they used when they were selling that off in the 50s and 60s. And it's interesting to go through. There'd be an item, 30,000 toothbrushes. So somewhere out there's a farmer with 30,000 toothbrushes sitting in his shed and wondering what the hell he's going to do with them
Oh,
all.
what? Well, geez, I need a new one. Perhaps you can ship a couple over. I'll tell you what, that's of great interest too. Rob, you
Yeah.
mentioned the hospital before. Is the Army General Hospital on site there?
Yeah. The 2nd First Army General Hospital was in Gaza. It came back
Jeez.
to Australia, and I actually learned a little bit about it correcting some of the history we thought we knew about it, but it came back to the eastern states. He caught the train across the Nullarbor. The whole hospital got off in Meriden, and then they split half that, which went down to Guildford Grammar School, and the other half stayed here in town. They started off with a tent hospital, and then they gradually built solid buildings, and that operated for a few years until the tide turned, and then the hospital up stumps and off to Port Moresby. So there's nothing of the buildings left, but there's still all the concrete footings, and you can drive out and look around and give you an idea of just how big it was.
It must be a great joy for you to be part of this history and actually do your stuff there, Rob, at the Meriden Military Museum. What's it feel like?
I get a lot of pleasure out of it, being able to help people, let them understand what was going on, and hopefully let them also know how desperate we thought things were. And but also within that, you look at things and can say, well, the planners weren't all that bright really because of some things that happened. I mean, point in case, why did they pick Meriden as a fallback point? And it was on the main road east-west. It was also on the main line. But the other thing was it had a good water supply. And as you and I know, the water supply comes in a pipe all the way from Mundaring. So if Perth
That's
had been invaded, the water went up real quick. But the
right.
little idiosyncrasies like that, it's all part of the story, and you can get a laugh out of some of them.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, yeah, good to say it's all part of the story because even in the most serious of matters, there's always humour. And of course, Australians are very good at that too. And a very good part of the history too. Now,
Yeah, well, you say that. Well, we've got a photo in the museum we collected just recently, and it's a First World War photo, and it's entitled Funeral for a Stew.
What? Well, tell us about that.
I believe it was taken at Black Boy Hill, which is where the troops were, well, the guys were trained for the First World War, and apparently the stew was so bad the troops decided they'd hold a funeral for it. And I just love it. It just speaks volumes about the Australian sense of humour, doesn't it?
It does, Rob. Rob Endersby, Curator, Secretary of the Meriden Military Museum. It does. And this is the great thing, too. It can be in moments of war, and obviously, as we know from our history, moments of war and near-death experiences, great humour can arise as a way of combating that, I guess, too, Rob.
As a good friend of mine, a Vietnam vet, said, warfare is 10% sheer terror, 90% boredom.
Anything else you'd like to share with listeners before we sign off from the Meriden Military Museum?
Look, just love people to come and have a look. We've got some great volunteers. We're open 7 days a week at the moment. How long that's going to last depends on volunteers. If anyone's got a particular interest in something and they can let us know in advance, we're always trying to make sure we can be there to help them and talk to them. Our volunteers don't have a military history background as such, but they become very knowledgeable working there and getting to talk to people. So there's not much we can't answer for people or even point them in the right direction if they're doing their own military research on family, which I do quite a bit for people as well to help them out.
Yeah, well, I know from speaking with you, Rob Endersby, that you're a great conduit for knowledge, and your beautiful thing is sharing it with the Australian public. Volunteers, so if you're listening to this and you're in WA and you want to shoot off to Meriden for whatever, get in contact with Rob at the Meriden Military Museum and volunteer. What about donations, Rob? Do you get donations?
We do. People donate, like we've had a few people make donations towards our Catalina because that's obviously going to be a fairly expensive job. We're not going to fully restore it, but it's a big aircraft, a 30-meter wingspan, and it's going to take a fair bit of work to get it up to some sort of display standard. So we've got people coming and saying, look, we want to donate so much towards that, and we'll let them know as time goes on where that money's helped go. So because we're really only starting the restoration on it at the moment, but we've had other people donate money towards various vehicles when we've had trouble getting them out of the system and we didn't have the money available. So it's been really nice that people want to put their hand in their pocket.
For history buffs, for anyone interested in Australia's history and military history also, get out there and visit the Meriden Military Museum. And they're going to look it up on the website to have a look because of the interest created by this discussion, Rob. So what's the web address?
We do say to people we do have a Facebook page and we're
Yes.
putting stuff on that all the time.
Okay.
And the reason we don't have a web address is the fact that I don't know how many times I've gone to websites and they're never up to date. So we made the decision not to do that, whereas we can keep putting things on Facebook and everyone knows how to find you on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook's the way to go for the Meriden Military Museum. But I will add that I did Google Meriden Military Museum and a whole lot of great information came up. So that's also good too, Rob. So people can get to visit you and see you on the web in many ways. and visit the Meriden Military Museum at Facebook. Get involved, get some donations happening, and for people there that would like to learn a bit more about history, visit or volunteer. It's been an absolute pleasure, Rob, and we do hope to make this an ongoing series with you and have a chat to you in the future. But thanks for being part of the Last Post radio show.
Oh, thanks for inviting me on. It's been really great.
You're listening to Greg T. Ross and the Last Post radio show.